Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Here we go on a Thursday. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We got to wait another day, and that day is today, for Caglione to get another opportunity to get his first big league hit. We got a doubleheader today. The rain, obviously, severe enough yesterday for it to get washed out. So Royals, Cardinals for two today. First game at 12:45. So we'll hand things off to Vern at 11:30 here on a Thursday.
That's fine with me. I love a little day game baseball.
Do you?
Plus, I don't know what it is. Like, for sleep with me, it's a lot like working out or a hangover or those things, which is... The second day always catches me worse. Yesterday, despite the fact I was on like 3 hours of sleep, I actually felt okay. Went to bed at the normal time, didn't take a nap in the afternoon, Gold, despite our middle of the night ride back from St. Louis. Just treated it like a normal day. Drank a coffee in the afternoon, mostly felt fine. This morning felt more like a Now I'm tired. Now I'm like, the alarm hurt.
I feel
a little bit worse this morning.
I feel great today.
Interesting.
Last night,
okay. What time did you go to bed?
So I ended up watching the end of the hockey game last night. But you can ask Dusty this. I was texting him. We were looking at some nerding out on some card stuff, and we were in the middle of a card break. And I'm not kidding. I fell asleep. I didn't know, on the couch with the phone in my lap. And because Dusty, you can ask Dusty. Because Dusty's like, oh, what did you think of these cards? And I'm like, I never saw. I woke up to his text. I think I nodded out for like 25 minutes randomly
Bryce
on the couch.
Harper one was sick.
Was it? I never saw it. So that's that. Maybe I got a little nap in yesterday. But I feel good today. Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't know it was called getting banged, by the way, in baseball.
It's both. Banged. So I said, oh, the game got canned. And he's like, no, I think the term is banged. And I go,
canned is more for firing. In baseball, I agree with Dusty. I think people more commonly say banged.
I thought Dusty was just saying banged because Dusty tends to lean towards the more sexual related terms. So I thought that's why I think that's why Dusty was going.
Flanagan sighting out there yesterday. I was like, Jeffrey Flanagan. Yeah,
I think both are correct, by the way, because we actually looked it up. So both actually account for the same thing. But anyway, yes, the game got canned and banged, whatever, yesterday.
I don't know. When you say them together, then
said no secrets about Omaha.
That's a whole, that comes into a whole different line of thinking, it feels like, at least on that.
Someone says today's games look dicey. I don't know. I haven't checked the weather report. All I know is we're handing things off to Vern at 11:30. Whatever happens after that happens, you know?
Yeah. I mean, just as long as they don't change their mind here in the next few minutes, I would say we're mostly fine.
We have a surprise at some point today, because yesterday towards the end of the show, Drew randomly told us that he makes his own beats. We're like, what do you mean? He makes his own beats. He also gave us a gift towards the end of the show as well, and informed us that, well,
I wanted the beat machine.
He wanted one of those.
I wanted the beat machine.
And he has sent us a couple of those today. I have not heard them. Those will get played.
I haven't heard them either.
He's going to use it as our bumper music at some point today.
Coming back at 10:30 and 11.
Okay. Out of curiosity, did you make a new beat, or did you go back into the vault?
I went back in the vault.
Did you go find some previously made beats?
Are these high school Drew Nixon beats, or Drew Nixon beats?
There's some from college. There's one that I made, I think, actually, that I use as the outro for the podcast. So if you guys listen to the 249 Miles of College Football podcast, the outro is one of the ones.
All right. So we'll be listening.
I'm gonna freestyle over the top.
I'm gonna need you to freestyle over the top.
Oh my goodness.
That's how we're gonna treat a day game today. Drew's gonna play his beats, and I'm gonna freestyle over the top of them. You know?
Okay.
About Jack Caglione.
So we'll talk some Royals baseball in just a bit. Something that Josh Vernier told us yesterday when he joined us about the current era we are living in with the Royals, we thought it was very interesting. Want to talk about that in just a bit. But news late overnight. Initially, I saw from Matt Evans, who has been covering the stadium front in Jefferson City and what's going on with the Missouri legislature. We all know, right? They're in a special session.
Yeah.
And things seemed to change yesterday afternoon when the governor expanded the call of the special session to allow some other things to be attached to this and maybe to alleviate some of the concerns by those that are in the Missouri Senate. It was good enough to get the funding bill for the stadiums passed out of the Senate yesterday. It now goes back to the House. We shall see if the House is good with it. They were good with the stadium portion last go around, but now it's attached to other things. We'll see. The expectations, it sounds like, is that it'll get out of the House and eventually go to the governor's desk, but nothing is a sure thing when it comes to this. But this was a great step forward, though, if you are someone that is a favor of keeping the teams in Missouri. You need the stadium bill to have a shot. And this was a big step in the right direction. The bill would fund up to 50% of potentially the renovation for Arrowhead or a new stadium for the Royals. So it's not a done deal yet that the bill is going to be sent to the governor's desk. But according to Matt Evans last night, I think it was 19 votes. They need 18. They got 19 votes out of the Senate. So that was the big hurdle that they needed to get over.
That was really, and so narrowly passed is probably putting it mildly, I think, when I saw the headline. Narrowly passed is probably a generous way to consider the way that they got it, but they got it done. And everybody thinks it's going to pass the other side, like you said, Colt. So I guess Missouri's back in the game. Look, they had to get this done. And that's really what this kind of boils down to, is they didn't really have much of a choice if they were going to get this done and retain at least one of the teams. The one I think this means more for is for the Royals. Because I think that the Royals are at least the team, and maybe the Chiefs are too, because you mentioned the renovation, and maybe he wants that instead, is like, I think the Royals would still entertain the idea of, we'll take less money if that means we get the thing that we want the most, which in your and I's opinion was downtown baseball or near downtown baseball. I guess the question is, if they own the land in Jackson County, can they just say, hey, we don't care about Jackson County's money anymore. We're not asking for any tax incentives. Missouri gave us what we want. We're just going to use that money there. If you guys want to give us money down the road, we'll talk later, but it's not about you anymore. It's just about the Missouri. Because there's still teams that might want to double dip, right? Let's say the Royals want to go to Clay County. They could still ask Clay for additional funding to go for the stadium, couldn't they?
Well, I think with either of these projects, there still has to be local money that comes in. This is the big portion is the state money, but whether we're talking the Chiefs renovation, they're still going to have to get some money from Jackson County. The Royals, if they chose a downtown site, maybe they could bypass the county, but they would still need some sort of incentives from the city of Kansas City, Missouri. So
do you think so? You don't think they just take the Missouri money and
I don't
go where they
so.
Want to go?
I don't think so.
Did they get asked for less? Maybe it's a,
maybe so. You know? I don't think 50% of that. We know it's not a 50-50 proposition though. You know, like they're getting funding up to 50% of the stadium cost under this bill if it gets out of the passes through the House. So I think there has to still be some local money that comes in for these to work. But the state part was a huge hurdle, and it looks like they're on track to get a funding bill done now that it's out of the Senate.
What percentage chance do you put? Do you still feel like it ends up being Chiefs? What's everyone's lean? Let's not talk percentage chance. Now that we think there's a really good chance Missouri is going to pass some funding for the Royals and Chiefs to try to stay in their state to either renovate or build new stadiums outside of that, what's our lean on which way both teams are headed? Well, obviously, they both have threatened Kansas in the last 7 days. Missouri with the 119th site mentioning that they bought out the mortgages.
The Royals
at the 119th site where they bought out the thing. And then the Chiefs, obviously, talking about the dome stadium aspect and all the Nate Taylor reporting late last week as well. So they both have threatened Kansas in the last week.
Yeah, it depends. What do you believe? You know, do you truly believe that Clark Hunt has come around on the idea of a dome, as in a new stadium? Or was that used heading into this session? Because we know for a while the talk was always that he preferred a renovated site.
I think there's a lot of truth
to
that.
So has he come around on it, or is it just that he understood the reality of the situation from the business side of it, that a new stadium provides them some more opportunities? Yeah, that's something I don't have the firm answer to. I'll just go back to 2 years ago when everybody at that point in time, I think, you know, had their own opinion on what it would be. And the thought, I think, on this show 2 years ago was, all right, one team stays in Missouri, the Royals. One team goes to Kansas,
the
Chiefs. Missouri, if they pass the stadium bill, that gives them an opportunity, I think, to at least keep one of the teams.
I think that, yeah, I would still lean 1-1, mostly for the same reason. Like, honestly, I kind of like 1-1 gold. I still like the Royals in Missouri and the Chiefs in Kansas for the same reason. For the people who, going back to the initial thought, not one we hit home all the time, because we also just come to this reality of, I don't think we have to blindly accept life as it is, but it's like fighting against the machine that is local taxpayer paying for, you know, funding billionaire stadiums. Once I get past that hurdle, the idea that at the very least, if I accept that on its premise, that that is a thing that is going to happen, yeah, I don't have to like it, but a thing that is going to happen, spreading out the tax burden between both sides of the state line is appealing to me. That not just Missouri taxpayers, that not just Kansas taxpayers, that not just Jackson or Clay or Platt or Wyandotte or wherever, you know, like any of them, or Johnson is stuck with the bill themselves, appeals to me. Well, then great. I like the idea that one would end up. I still lean, and I still, like, I can't get past the fact that even more than I think Clark wants a renovation, shifting from I want downtown baseball from the day he bought the Kansas City Royals. So for 5 years, he's been sitting on this I want downtown baseball the second he purchased the major league team. It's hard for me to imagine that he shifted off of that. And that if Missouri's going to pony up the dough, he'll figure out a way to get the, maybe there's the hidden city funding mechanisms that Quentin Lucas has spoken, I would say, well, incredibly vaguely
but
about.
I think that's what's required to make it happen. I still think the local money has to be there for it to work. It can't. It's not just that the stadium funding bill in the state level is a huge chunk of it, but it's not. There still is a requirement. I think it even is mentioned, not only from some of the reporting, but even, you know, the lawmakers that have spoken publicly. I mean, I also saw a quote from one of the Chiefs lobbyists, like acknowledging that, like, they will still need local support as well. And I know in this perfect world, they wouldn't need that. They should just take care of it themselves. But that, we all know that's not how this works.
Yeah, that always comes back to the same thing. It is a big step for Missouri. I don't want to pretend like it's not, because you and I had both said, and in fairness, I've been very critical of Missouri's ability to pass any of this. And while it passed by a vote, singular, or they cleared it by two, I guess. They needed 16.
They needed 18.
They needed 18, and they got 19, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. So they, by the hair on their chinny chin chin, they scraped this thing by. They did actually pass it. They scrounged up enough people to move it to the next step. I'll give them credit for doing so. It was 2:30 in the morning, I believe, when they actually finally came to an agreement.
Well, they were filibustering for about 4 hours or whatever it was last night.
I guess that's the next thing Missouri needs to tackle. Get rid of the filibuster. This thing's dragging things out. Do you guys want to work till 2:30 in the morning? This is nuts.
That's a whole nother thing. I mean, some of that went on during the sports betting stuff when it was in the legislature as well. But
were you watching Missouri filibusters during that run?
Back when it was involving sports betting, I was not up till 2 a.m. watching stadium stuff. I haven't been following the stadium stuff in terms of the legislature watching that. When it was sports betting stuff, I don't know, that was kind of my thing at the time. Yeah. As far as where they go from here, we'll keep an eye on it. For those just wondering what's the next step, it has to pass out of the House. And if it does that, then it would go to the governor's desk and they move forward. If there's some disagreement on some of the other things that are attached to the stadium bill, then you go into, like, they have like the reconciliation committees. You get in with the Senate and they try to iron things out. So we'll see what happens.
But I mean, again, the House is always the less big problem from a public perception of what people thought would be less of a problem, at least on that end. So we'll see. It's still big news. It's big news for Missouri. If you want the teams to, if you're the guy who keeps texting Alex and be like, Kansas isn't Kansas City, losers. If you're that guy, I'm sure you're thrilled last night that this took place. I made it very clear. It does seem, it's so funny because, like, we're a really good dichotomy, Gold. You have spent your entire life living in Kansas. I have spent my entire life living in Missouri. Now, look, I got closer to living in Kansas than you ever have living in Missouri, as in I looked at houses in Kansas. So, like, I considered it.
Yeah.
At some point, you've never like, you dated a girl in Missouri is about as close as you've gotten to living in Missouri. Uh-huh. That's about as close as you got.
Yeah.
But you also attended all these games and have made it perfectly clear. It's never been a problem for you to, you know, spend your money on the other side of the state line, you know?
Yeah. I've spent money in at Arrowhead and Kauffman Stadium and T-Mobile Center, et cetera, for sporting events. But I get it. People are passionate, obviously, about this. People are also just wanting this to get figured out. And I still think it's going to happen this month. I think we're going to have a very good idea this month because of what's happening in the Senate or in the legislature. And then at the end of the month, we know the star bonds expire on the Kansas side.
I'll be honest, based on some of the stuff I'd heard before and the progression of this, I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of this month, like July 1 or June 3rd, whatever, that we see a rendering for a stadium from either the Royals or the Chiefs. Those are things they have internal. And this would be the biggest hurdle, I think, from the funding perspective. I actually think they'd be comfortable being like, here's what the downtown stadium at Washington Square Park is going to look like according to the Royals if they get at least half of this funding figured out. And then they will do we'll get the rest. We know we need the rest of the money, but we'll get the rest of the money now up above board. Everyone can see it. But here's where we're putting the stadium. This is what's going to look like, and here's our proposed timeline.
Yeah, and it's why last April, when the vote failed, the biggest winners that night after their egos were hurt a little bit with the embarrassing vote, the biggest winners were the teams because they were able to leverage both Kansas and Missouri. And look what they have on the table, potentially, if the stadium bill passes in the Missouri House. They have the 70%+ or whatever it is of funding through star bonds on Kansas. And now they have 50%+ of that, 50% or so of a project funding available, it looks like, if it passes for Missouri. Those are better options than what they had last April.
I know.
That's what's amazing about the whole thing.
And the project is $400 million more. So, like, not only are they getting a higher percentage, they're just getting more money from both.
Isn't it, though, like, doesn't it ultimately come down to the rendering in itself in the first place? Like, Missouri can get all of it, and then Missouri comes out with the rendering. And if the rendering's not good enough, like, ultimately, I think...
Well, it may not need a public vote. So
they're just saying they're gonna bypass it.
And in Kansas, you don't need a public vote at all anymore.
Now, I still assume they, like, if they took the 70% from Kansas, you don't think they try to double-dip the county, too? You don't think that they try to?
They don't need to.
Yeah, I guess. Because they just create the star bond in the county. Essentially, when you spend the money in there, pays for it. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, they would not need a vote in Kansas.
They're going to want, now that Kansas has given them the 70%, they're going to want the 20% from the county. But also 20% from the county, Gold, is it's more money from the state. It hypothetically is less than the 3/8 cents they were asking for before. It could be less of a county burden than it was before. And look, Jackson still's got their own issues and all this stuff, and they're still raising people's property taxes, even though they got told they have to cap it, and all this other stuff. And so there's a lot going on there, not to even mention what's been going on with members of the council over on that end over the last 48 to 72 hours. And so there's just a lot going on, at least on that end. But that was a big step. That was a huge step for Missouri's opportunity. Now I'm no longer worried, Gold. I'll say if this passes, and I feel like it will now, I am no longer worried Missouri will lose both. Is that how you feel after last night? After last night, I no longer think Missouri is going to have neither team. I think this was a good step forward and a 80% chance now or 70% chance now. Missouri's keeping either the Chiefs or keeping the Royals. That's what kind of makes it a bit of a difference than it was a year before. I will say Vern was on our show yesterday and he said something and I didn't want to get into it yet because it was like 12:30 and I wanted to think about it for a little bit rather than just have kind of the knee-jerk reaction. Vernon said yesterday, Cavs were getting called up, everybody was riding high, the Royals pitching staff was going great, and he said he felt like we were getting ready to enter another, and he used this phrase, golden era of Royals baseball. And I didn't want that to be my immediate reaction. Do I feel that? Because my immediate thought was, I don't know. I've watched a golden era of Royals baseball. I was 14 and 15. I wasn't alive for the 70s and 80s era. I'm guessing that was a golden era of Royals baseball just based on the success they were having. And a World Series title in the middle of the 80s, so okay. And the golden era lasted such a short period of time in 14 and 15. I was like, I was hesitant. And then I thought more about it, and I'm like, oh, I actually think he's right. It in the sense that it feels like that's what's getting ready to happen. We're not there yet, but that's what it feels like this is building up to. Generational superstar, under contract with your team, pitching that works, a system that is developing. You just called up another maybe potential star in Jack Caglione. Likeable players, great major league players, really good major league players, whatever. And Vinny and others across the board. I actually kind of feel like he might be right. That what it feels like is the momentum is carrying us towards this. But it's going to take multiple playoff runs over multiple seasons. And the question is, can you have like an era like that of baseball without a championship? And in Kansas City, because the Royals in 14 and 15 in 85 and the Chiefs' recent run, I don't think anybody would be calling it golden era anything unless the Royals win a World Series. Even if they made what? Even if they made the playoffs four times in 6 years, that'd be what? The best run they've ever had as a franchise? Would that work without a World Series?
I think with where sports fans are at in Kansas City, you guys tell me if I'm off on this, 913-586-7965. But I think because of the championships the Chiefs have won over the last decade, because of the championship the Royals won back in 2015, I think in Kansas City as sports fans, I don't believe a golden era exists for either team without titles being linked to them. Now, I totally get what Vern means. We could have a lineup here that has a superstar in Bobby Witt, a star hopefully in Caglione, coupled with maybe an organization that has figured out this whole pitching thing. And if it means they go to multiple, let's call it 3 and 5 years, 3 and 6 years playoff appearances, and one includes a run to an ALCS or something like that, then maybe that, that would be better than what they have typically done. But I wonder now, as sports fans in Kansas City, I think it's about championships. Like, every city is about championships, but I think now we're spoiled to the point where in 2014, prior to winning a championship for the Royals or the Chiefs at that point in our lifetime, at least, you maybe were like, just get me to that Super Bowl, or just get me to that World Series. I think now championships are where people grade them, fair or not. And so I wonder if some people would say it's not the golden era unless you have a championship attached to it. Now, could that be an American League championship? Is that good enough?
I don't know.
I would say if you told me
they made the playoffs four out of 6 years, it sure as hell is.
And they went to a World Series? Yeah.
I've never seen them, because in looking back at 14 and 15 and 13 and 16, where they were competitive teams but didn't make the playoffs, certainly too, outside of that gold, I look back at that like it's a fever dream more than a gold. Like, even that one's hard to say golden era, because it was a 2 year run of just felt like a not a blip, but like it didn't last long enough. It does feel like a lot of the things are in place right now for you to start thinking the Royals are getting ready to enter one of their most competitive stretches of baseball we've seen in their franchise's history. Mm-hmm. Going back to the 70s or 80s, when they were perennial teams, they were one of the highest spending teams, and they consistently competed. Because if Jack is anywhere close to the level of prospect that he is, well, you're going to have Jack and Bobby in a lineup together for the next 5 years at least. And you'll have Vinny in the lineup, assuming he's on the roster, for another 4 years at least. And the pitching development seems like it's taken this big leap. It's starting to feel like you might have a couple years of Salvi, whatever. Starting to feel like you're going to start knowing a lot of these guys, and everyone in baseball is going to know a lot of these guys, and you're going to go through a run.
It's just whether or not people in Kansas City separate the Chiefs and Royals in terms of how you judge them in terms of their era. Right now, forever in the NFL, and because of what the Chiefs have done in Kansas City, it is always going to be Super Bowl. Someone on the text line says, hey, golden era, you add golden to it, it means rings. It means championships. And I get that point.
I definitely get that.
We got a few people on the other side of it that says, hey, look at the Braves from the 90s, all those division titles, championship series appearances, but they did have that one championship. Someone else says Chiefs and Royals are separate. Royals have lower standards. I'd be happy with multi-year playoff runs. And not everybody feels that way, but I was curious just how everybody's viewing this, because I would say in the economics of baseball, challenging it is to win as a small market team, and what the Royals did, still no other small market team has done back in 2015, it shows you how difficult it is. You all, of course, want a World Series championship, of course. But if they went to the playoffs over the next decade, including last year, let's include last year from that year one of that for another 9 years, including this year now too, and they went to the postseason 5 years,
I was in one of the best years of Royals baseball I've ever seen.
Even if they didn't win a championship, absolutely, it would be.
That's where it's tough, because, and again, some of it is just the selfishness now that has been created by the Chiefs. I mean, truthfully, created by the Chiefs. We are used to rings. And the last Royals run, where they got hot for a couple of years, they cashed in with a championship. I tell you what, I don't think anybody would even hesitate to say golden era if the Royals team didn't win in the World Series in that 14-15 run. Let's say they just lost in the World Series both years, or lost in the 15 run. It stopped in the Houston series. They went to the World Series the year before that. They lost in the Houston series. Ball doesn't go off Correa, butterfly effect. And everything else is exactly the same in the world. You'd be thinking that they were getting ready to enter their second best era in baseball without it. That World Series does change it, and then all the Super Bowls after. But I mean, I will take the same success, because at least then you have a chance.
Yeah.
At least there's a belief.
I think, though, we know, like, we can say it now as we sit you know, in June of 2025. But if we fast forward to June or opening day 2027, and this team has had multiple playoff appearances, but they were exiting in the divisional round or wild card round or whatever. Like, heck, even after this year, let's say the Royals make the playoffs and they lose in the divisional round again. Let's say that's the scenario that plays out that way. Next year, I'm sure we will, and others will also say, well, that's all right. That's not good enough. Now, what's the next step? Like, there's always going to be a new bar that is put out there in front of sports teams and as fans and expectations. So I think it's easy for us to say, I'm good with this. But after you come up short and taste the postseason a couple years in a row, then you're saying, all right, the divisional round is cool and all. I've seen that for 2 years. Yeah. Then you're going to say, well, how about an ALCS? How about a World Series appear? That's what we do. That's what fandom is about. And I think as organizations, you're always pushing yourself forward as well. So it's weird. You know, in the moment, I think people say they're fine with it. But then when you've tasted it, I think you change a little bit.
Yeah. Would an AL pennant be enough to call it that if they went to the playoffs 4 of 6 years, you know, with Bobby Witt Jr., with Jack Caglione, with Vinny Pasquantino, with these guys whose names you want to remember. But yeah,
playoff sex.
That's different. That's what all those babies are born after. Playoff success comes with a lot of different requirements for the era. The golden era part of it, I really do, Gold. I'm with you. I think it kind of comes with a ring, but you can't even get to that conversation unless you're competitive every year. That's the whole other part of it.
You're saying you're hoping, I think you were alluding to, with the potential of a lot of Jack babies, a lot of babies named Jack being born.
There was a World Series victory. Do you know any news stories?
There was definitely a joke right there that I don't think we can say on air, but it was just right there. Mm-hmm. It was right.
The number of, you remember this, local news stories, Gold, that existed after
it was a real thing. Uh-huh. People were naming their kid, after the Chiefs, people were naming their kid Patrick, too, a little bit.
Playoff sex is very much a real thing.
Yes.
Not what I was talking about for the point of this conversation, but very much.
Playoff success.
Everyone's in a good mood.
Playoff success leads to playoff sex.
Is it a better time to be on the apps if the Royals are in the playoffs? Everyone's just feeling good?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, people are in good moods. I think you just go out to the bar in that case.
Yeah.
I don't
catch someone in the wild.
I don't think you hop on the app during the playoff run necessarily.
Catch someone in the wild. I think that's hilarious. You said that.
All right, up next, we'll get to something that Major League Baseball looks like is going to implement next year, and we've witnessed it a couple times in a few cities recently. We'll explain what that is, and tonight we get an NBA Finals. I know Drew's fired up, although it's NBA Finals game one day, and Drew is wearing a Missouri Tigers shirt, not his Pacers shirt. I'm confused. We'll get to this on the other side. Think of your reasoning, and I got to hear it next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spin Ball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Back here on Cody and Gold. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Thursday. Reminder, Vern's On Deck show is 1 hour from now. We get two baseball games today. Two chances for the Royals to get a win. Two chances for Jack Caglione, or two games at least, for him to get his first hit. Maybe 9 or 10 at-bats today. All of a sudden could be just completely different view. You know, he could end up with 4 or 5 hits today. It could happen just like that for Caglione and his big league opportunities today, as the Royals would like to obviously get a couple wins today and then feel really good heading into a Chicago White Sox series. And they could return home on Tuesday against the Yankees with multiple wins in their back pocket. And all of a sudden Tuesday night could be really, really special against the Yankees at Kauffman Stadium. It's not sold out yet for those that were asking about tickets for Cags' home debut. Tickets are still out there.
Okay.
Hopefully they get over 30,000.
I would think it's going to be a pretty good size credit. It's still Tuesday night.
It is.
So, like, that's always
going to
come
as a little
bit of an issue. I don't
know what the weather's like or any of that. It's too far out to look, but
people said, you're just going to glaze over Drew's beat there? I'm assuming that was one of your beats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My apologies.
I'm trying to decide how I feel about it.
Can you pot it back up for a second?
Yeah, let me hear it again for just a second.
Yeah.
How do you envision someone singing over the top of this or rapping over the top of this?
Well, it would have to be changed. The levels would have to be changed for you to rap over it.
Why?
Because the beat. So in when you make an instrumental, like, it's, if you make a beat, it's not meant to have somebody rap over it necessarily.
So
like
you made this how long ago?
This one is probably a year ago.
I mean, I don't mind it for bumper music.
I
want to
hear the next one.
I don't mind
this
it for bumper
music. This isn't the one
I'm
willing to rap over. Give me the next one.
I don't mind it for bumper music, though. We're playing, you know, licensed bumper music. We can't have songs and stuff anymore now. So I if this is bumper music, I can go with that. I'm trying to this seems like, I'm trying to think the right word to use, though. But I, like, the style of it. I don't know. It's
something that you just kind of, to me, it's like something that you vibe to. Like you wouldn't. I don't picture you rapping over this either, Cody.
That's not the right one either. Does the next one have a better... Is it a little more tempo? Does it have... Okay, we'll hear the next one.
I'll just be surprised.
Were you going to get another one from me right now?
If you want one
Let me hear right one now. More right now. You know, we got a day game. We're off in an hour. Let me hear another beat.
Hang on a second. Let me pull it up.
Because now I'm curious, right?
Mm-hmm.
That one felt like I was playing an SNES, like, RPG game. And that's the thing that happens when you go into the cave.
This definitely feels more like a rap. You're going to have a rap over this.
Yeah,
you're going to rap over this.
This way more sounds
like. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's like, oh! Dude starts going.
Yeah, there's a little a riser.
Yeah, this would be more, yeah.
Yeah, this is way more. This is way better.
Okay.
The first
How
one.
How long does this beat go on for?
The first one.
This
other,
one's 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
All right. Because the first one, other than it repeating as often as it did, I was like, I feel like I'm walking into an office or a restaurant, and the other one's playing or something.
Yeah.
Although it repeats too much. This is something where Cody would just, you know, you could rap over this. Someone says this music gives off the perfect ambiance. Like, Drew, now because we cannot play licensed stuff, I think you
just
should just
custom
have,
beats from
just
Drew?
Custom beats coming back from break. Yep. I think that's what we need to have now.
All right, that one. That we can't
have, like, Taylor Swift bumping it anymore.
I should get some sort of, like, customization. You're listening to Cody and Gold.
I can't believe corporate's holding us down, okay? Holding us down. Won't let us play real music anymore.
Someone says that's porn music, Drew.
That
someone
is,
says
no,
not a bad not. Beat.
The first one, the second one definitely was
sounds
not.
Sounds like a Japanese water garden rap beat. Someone just like.
Okay, so I was trying to think of the right. It definitely feels like.
Sounds like I feel like it's a Super Nintendo beat. Like I'm playing F-Zero.
Mm. Okay.
That's what it feels like to me. But also, I guess I don't just listen to beats on their own very often. Normally, there's people like singing or rapping over things I'm listening to.
Someone says AD. Yeah, okay. Video game loading screen. Mm. Multiple things. Okay. All right, Drew. Think about what you could do if you got what you wanted.
I wanted a beat machine.
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
Think about what you could do if you got one of those.
I mean, I wouldn't be Metro Boomin, but I would be on the pathway to be getting there.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about baseball and what's going to happen next year. It sure seems like this is going to be a real thing. Rob Manfred, according to The Athletic, has said that Major League Baseball is going to propose the Automated Ball Strikes Challenge System, or ABS, for use at the big league level as soon as next season. They got to get it voted on. It looks like they have the votes. We know they've been testing this in the minors. We just saw this in AAA this past weekend. I was in Omaha, and there were four challenges in the game on Friday night, and every single challenge was not overturned, meaning like the ump was correct every single time, which was funny. So, you know, the ump was feeling good, but it takes 5 seconds. It's so simple. You know, MJ Melendez is in the batter's box there in AAA.
He taps
on his helmet real quickly on the video board. It says challenge. Then it shows the K zone on the video board. Confirmed strike. That's it. The ump says the call is confirmed. It's a strike. The count is blah, 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 blah.
Takes two seconds.
It's a 5 to 10 second ordeal. It's great. I love it. It creates some new drama. It also sets up a little bit of the friction maybe with the umpires. You have the criticism that will come, I'm sure. Like, why did you use your challenge this early in the game? Imagine Vern's post-game show. You know the calls he gets.
Oh, yeah.
Why did they use their challenge in the fifth inning? They should have saved it for the bottom of the ninth. Oh, it's going to make the game another layer to it more entertaining. And it doesn't extend the life or the length, I should say, of the game at all.
Now, I will say I would be in favor of just like going full in and just saying you never have to call balls and strikes. And we'll just let the thing that gets the calls right, get them right all the time. But this does add a layer. I'll say by doing it this way, you add an entire extra layer of intrigue because you've added a whole new layer of strategy. Like, for instance, if I'm a coach, if you're a 310 on base guy, you better not touch your helmet. This better be the eighth inning with the bases loaded on a strike three call. Because if it's not that, and you're a career 310 on base guy, I better sure as hell not see that. Like, you almost have to reserve it for your superstars in the early innings. Vinny, Bobby, it's got to be like the big name guys early on. And you almost can't be like, don't even bother challenging a call unless, again, it's bases loaded with two outs in the third inning. And that was going to walk in a run. It better be sure it was scoring a run almost in order to do it. I also like that it creates friction. Because, Gold, you saw it this weekend firsthand. The first time an ump gets challenged 3-4 times in a game and he's right on all four, he is going to let the players have it if they challenge a call. If they don't challenge one. If they complain about a call in the ninth inning that they thought was a ball and they'd already challenged four times and they're out and they're like, come on. Be like,
yeah,
I was right the other times, jerk. And the same goes vice versa. Like, the players be like, we already had a challenge four. You've been wrong on all four. Now you're calling this one a ball too? And some people are going to get ejected because of it.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, and someone's asking, is it just for batters? No, the batter, the catcher, or the pitcher, everybody on the field, you know, or not everybody, but those guys involved in that sequence, they can all do the challenge. The challenge is not something that comes from the manager or whatever. This is the pitcher. It's because it's got to be quick, right?
Yeah, I think it is two challenges per batter, but you get the point.
Yeah.
Still, don't waste it unless it's late.
Yeah, and they can tweak this a little bit, but only the batter, pitcher, and catcher are allowed to challenge the call. And then a team retains its challenge indefinitely if successful. That's what they're using in the triple A level. I don't know if they'll mimic the exact same thing in the big leagues. I would think so. But I enjoyed it. And it's one of those things, if you're having a conversation with you know, your buddy in the stands and you're not like locked in, you might look up and be like, what happened? That's how quick
that's
it is.
How you want it to be. Like, yes. Eagle eye for the tennis match. Maybe I notice it a little bit more in the baseball senses and they're going to pull back the replay pretty quick. But we already see that anyway on close calls. I don't want it to be gold. I don't want it to be like the focus of the thing. I just want the call right. This sounds so silly, but like, that's the whole point of like, this is where I think the NFL has failed us, where like, I have to get a review system in the NFL and I'm never even sure if they got it right. in the entire review system. This is black or white.
Yeah, it's very quick. Someone's asking about how many challenges, as you were saying. It depends what MLB implements. So, right, yeah. When they tested it in spring training, because they did it, they just used this in spring training as well. At that time, each team started the game with two challenges.
Team.
That's a team.
Yeah.
And unless I was way off base, what
in
I saw...
In the early minors, they were doing it more as like individual players, but now they've reduced it to team.
Yeah, when I was in Omaha, on the scoreboard, it shows... Like has like the little, you know, like circle. One's mm-hmm. filled in, one's not, right, to signify if it's been used or
got
not.
Another thing on the digital board.
And there were four.
What are they going to do at Fenway where they've already got
I don't know.
That's something built
new,
in. Man.
They got that something new. But yeah, it was in AAA at least, it was four total challenges in the entire game.
You said you watched a game where he went 0 for, the players went 0 for 4.
I believe Friday night was 0 for 4 or 0 for 3, yeah. It was funny because like, that's right, ump. You're like, tell him. You tell him.
The people this helps.
Ump was correct.
This is a massive benefit to, I think this is a big benefit to two Royals players in particular when they implement this. One is Salvador Perez, because of all the pitch framing stats and all the other stuff that he's been dinged on over all these years. Salvi's seen enough pitches to know if something's a strike. And so I think he can take advantage of knowing when they're hurting him in that department because of pitch framing or the other stuff that kind of dings him. And the other guy is Vinny Pasquantino, who I think gets more outside strike calls against him than a guy who knows the zone as well as he does should. Mm-hmm. I think he knows the zone better than the umpire does right now. And because he's not an established superstar with a 370 on base percentage, they don't give him the same benefit of the doubt on the edge as they do for guys like Aaron Judge or these other guys who know the zone well. I think he gets hurt more than anyone else on the team on outside of the zone pitches. Like, they don't actually believe that he knows where it is. I think he'll benefit pretty much a lot from it. The problem is that if you're only getting two per team, you shouldn't even touch your helmet till at least the fifth inning unless it's a massive bases loaded situation. Other than that, Gold, and again, this is where I'm going to be kind of tough. I'm not going to want the players who strike out or don't walk a lot.
Oh, early in the game, unless it's the late innings or it's a massive situation, I would almost say in the first 4 to 5 innings, the only people that can challenge if they're going, it's got to be like the guys that I frankly trust a little bit more. It's got, you know, in this case, it's Bobby. There's like two or three players.
And I don't want it to go from like a 2-2 count from a 3-1 count. Like, again, it's got to be like strikeouts. It's all strategy based. It's got to be the last strike of the at bat, right? It can't be that was going to make it 1-0 versus 0-1.
I would assume so. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the sequence.
Actually,
though.
The history, though, if you're down 0-1 or 0-2 versus 1-1.
I actually think, though,
much more likely
I'm trying to think from Omaha, Cody. I believe the challenge was, yeah, it was on an 0-1 it wasn't the final strikeout. Like, it wasn't the challenge happened and they confirmed the guy was struck out every single time. I think sometimes it was in the middle of the count. For the reason you brought up, which is that you're still wanting to have an advantageous count.
Yeah, and there's history tells you that you're much more likely to get a hit in that count versus keep yourself from striking
next
out.
Year, I think we're going to have this.
Do you guys think that, I think it would be too much, and it's not going to start out that way, it sounds like, but eventually where every player gets one challenge per game. I know you said it only takes 5 seconds.
I don't
seconds.
Need that many challenges.
So, but I'm, because if it only takes 5 seconds, you're talking about 90 seconds added essentially to the game if each batter gets one challenge. Right?
I think it doesn't add any more than when they would have stepped outside the plate anyway.
So I want, like if you're Nick Lofton, it's like, hey, man, I think that was a ball instead of a strike, and it's the fourth inning, and you want to use it there? That's your prerogative as the player to use it. You don't feel like you're wasting a team's challenge, basically.
A couple. One, I hear you, and I don't think it's as much of a timing thing as I also don't, like, in general, there's still a human element to the game. Adding four challenges in the entire game is trying to correct that. I don't need every player to have a challenge. The other part would be, I would honestly really love to know. I know the ump has a lineup card and everything. That seems a little difficult to track if you're the ump to know who the hell still has a challenge left. We're talking about, it's not just four.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you got 18 players you got to keep an eye on. I know he could track it, but still, he'd have to like maybe double check.
You would just give more per team, I think, before you game to every player. I will.
Okay.
One thing when Drew said that, I immediately thought of Gold, that I got bad news for you on. For everyone who hates this, finger wag, review it in the booth. Gold? Do you know how many cuts are going to be? Do you know how many cuts is going to be to the dugout of every player going, come on, Blue, tapping their helmet? If you don't like the finger wag, you're probably going to start seeing baseball teams tap the side of their helmet and do that same thing. It's the same as like this. I think you might see it more.
In fairness to the umps, though, the one ump threw the guy out the other day who did it where NBA refs will just let it.
He did it because it also just doesn't exist in the big leagues yet.
Yeah,
you know what
but
I mean.
Also, why toss him for that?
Well, he shouldn't have been tossed.
Since it is little babies, yeah. I can't say like one little thing. I touched my helmet one time, but you can like, hi-ya-ha! You can do a whole show to strike me out, but I can't.
What was that?
That was his strikeout. Hi-ya-ha! You know, whatever. They just say things. They don't even say strike. Out sometimes.
I know. So yeah, that's.
But like, you could do whatever you want to put on this show to embarrass my ass. But I so much as touch my helmet, I get tossed from the game.
Yeah, no, he should never have been tossed. But that's the scenario that is. We're gonna
that
have.
That wasn't
some
my strikeout call when I umpired.
That wasn't. What was it?
It was. It was more like King Griffey Jr. Super Nintendo than that. I think it was like, I said strike three when I did it. Now I gotta. That sounds like the sound that Estevez made.
Yeah, when he gets the save. that's a get the save Dragon Ball Z type of stuff
that's there. Exactly what that is. It's been too long now. It's probably been 20 years. But I definitely said strike through. I did do that though.
You like the hand motion.
Yeah, that was the motion for the strike.
Tonight, guys, NBA Finals, Game 1.
This is why you should watch the show on video, by the way.
Yeah,
YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook.
Stream is up, YouTube, wherever. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the show. But tonight, Game 1, NBA Finals, Thunder, Pacers. This is why it drags out till like June 20th, because they have the spacing that they did in between days. We finally get it tonight. Drew is a Pacers fan. We know this. He said he's a diehard Pacers fan. We've questioned it. Today is Game 1 of the NBA Finals, maybe the biggest game in franchise history.
They've never won a final, right? They've never won an NBA championship?
And nope. The one time they were in it, they lost to the Lakers. They lost to Kobe and Shaq in 5.
And you, today, have chosen to wear a Missouri Tigers shirt.
That's
explain.
Right.
What?
You
just told us last week that we shouldn't question your fandom. Today's the finals, and you're wearing a Tigers shirt.
A couple days ago, I was here after the show was done, and I walked in after you guys were done to clean up the figurines. And Carrington, I was wearing an Iowa State shirt that day. Carrington goes, "How many colleges do you root for?" I was like, I was like, "I don't root for Iowa State, but I like college apparel. I collect college memorabilia, so I have an Iowa State shirt." And I was like, "You know what? Next time you're here, I'll wear a Missouri shirt just for you." He goes, "Thank you, I appreciate that." Of course, I was on my way here when I then remembered, "Oh yeah, it's a 2-hour show. I'm probably not going to see Carrington today."
No, I don't know. Is he here? I don't know. I'm not sure if he's here today.
I don't know. I mean, with the doubleheader.
He was gone yesterday, right?
He was gone yesterday.
Correct. Which is why I didn't wear it yesterday.
I think you got to rock your Pacers. This is your time. This is all about the Pacers right now for you.
Yeah.
And then it's a Missouri Tigers shirt anyway.
I mean, look. I can still root for a team regardless of the apparel I wear. Like, I don't wear...
K-State fans are saying they're disowning you now. When you first moved here,
you audition for a team. You chose a team.
We three options you had, KU, K-State, Missouri, when you first started on the show, and you chose to be a Kansas State supporter, and now you've worn Missouri Tigers gear, KU gear. You're not with anybody anymore, it sounds like.
In fairness, I'd like to keep it unbiased regarding the podcast. You know, I don't want
for the
anybody
locals. He likes to create.
So if I wear a Missouri State shirt, heaven forbid, I don't.
So if you
I
worn a shirt for all the locals now, because we got you a K-State shirt.
Correct.
I've seen you at least in a photo with the baby Jayhawk. So I know that
deep down, I know where Drew lies. Yeah, deep down, I understand. Yeah.
Do you own a Kansas shirt?
I do.
Okay.
Deep down, we've also figured out, based on NFL fandom as well, you usually like to root for the team that just has painful losses and doesn't
apparently
win a lot.
So, man.
It makes sense.
Another sign that Drew's not really a Pacers fan, as I've been advocating on the show. He doesn't even know how many games they played in the finals the last time they were there.
5.
They lost in 6.
Did they really?
Oh, boy.
That's tough.
How many games did the Royals lose in the World Series in 2014?
In 14?
How many games did it take in 14?
I don't have that memorized.
Oh, see, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
In 14, you don't know?
That's 7. It was game 7. They lost in game 7, and it was against the Giants.
I was really concerned. I was like, Drew, Alex knows this.
Yeah.
It was being put on the spot. Puts a lot of pressure on.
Yeah.
But then you're like, game 7. I think fans would know that. You know how many games it took. You know what game... Yeah, I bet you know every game Cincinnati lost. Like
last year? No.
No, no, no. They didn't go to the playoffs last year.
Okay.
But the last time they were in the playoffs, what game did they lose in?
The AFC title game.
Okay, the year before that, what game did they lose in?
That you got to go back a ways. That was the Pittsburgh Steelers game in 2015, I think.
I don't know, man. See,
when A.J. McCarron was quarterbacking.
Someone's just giving you a hard time. They're like, your fandom makes no sense. We've talked about that in the show. You're just all over the
technicality.
Do you think they're winning tonight? Are you guys excited for the finals? Does it intrigue you enough to watch?
Massive favorite. I'm excited for game one at the possibility that there could be an upset and the Pacers make this a series. I am fearful that
it's a sweep.
I am fearful that if the Thunder win tonight, this is four or five games.
If it was the Knicks, it would be a sweep.
Wow, you think it's a sweep?
I think the Pacers match up better to the Thunder than the Knicks would have.
I don't think this is a sweep. I think we get six. I really do.
I think it goes six games as well. I think the Thunder probably win tonight. I think the Pacers take one of the games in OKC.
I think it goes five. Maybe I'm just way underestimating the Pacers. The Thunder has just been the best team all year. They're
correct.
Just embarrassed.
Look, the favorite is five games series plus 205. Six games is plus 270. If it's a four games, so it's a sweep, plus 290. And if it goes seven, it's plus 370. So the favorite is that it's a five game series, which the gentleman's sweep, you know, makes sense that would have the.
I think that if.
I guess I'm right there with the favorite.
So you think the Thunder win both of the games in OKC then, and then maybe the Pacers get...
I think the Pacers get one in Indy, and then it's just kind of done.
All right. I thought
the Pacers were really helped in the Knicks series by the normal sports adage. Styles make fights, and I think the Knicks roster was really ill-equipped to handle the way the Pacers play and the style of play. I don't think that's going to be a problem for the Thunder. I don't think the style of play for the Pacers is an issue for the Thunder.
It's going to be interesting to see how, because I think these are the two best teams since the All-Star break in the NBA.
Yeah.
Just in its entirety. Number one offense, number one defense. I think Miles Turner is going to have himself a series if the Pacers are going to win. But yeah, all of the matchup stuff I'm really fascinated by. All I got, like Haliburton said this after the Knicks series. I'm going to say the same thing. Stephen A., Chalamet, have it your way. Pacers in six.
Hope for your sake.
If the Pacers do win, by the way, I don't know when exactly. It depends on when it ends.
You think you're going to go to the parade?
I think I'm going to go to the parade.
Nice.
It's going to be a madhouse in downtown Indianapolis. It's going to be gridlocked for.
So you'll drive to Indy. You would drive to Indy just for the parade.
I would drive to Indy just for the parade, yes.
Would that confirm his fandom for you, Cody?
If he goes to a parade out of town. Yeah, I think so.
I probably have to drive overnight now that I'm thinking about it, because I'm guessing that parade would be in the morning. That'd have to be, I get done with the show and I haul it home.
Yeah.
Just take a day or two off.
Just take the day. Yeah. It's fine.
And go to the parade if it happens. Unfortunately, I don't think you're going to have to worry about that, because I think the Thunder...
If UMKC ever wins a national championship, I'll be taking a few days off for the parade, you know?
If UMKC wins a national championship,
the
world is ending at that point. Come on now.
In fairness...
A natty? How about just attorney birth?
I know. That's what I want, man. I might take a day off for that. I told you I'm going.
Yeah. So somebody did mention that. I did get that. I got the Bengals thing wrong, Cody. Somebody said, Drew, you forgot the Bengals lost in the Super Bowl. That's correct.
Now, that wouldn't be one you probably should forget about. That was
technically, we like to erase those two.
Yeah. Eventually, we're going to forget that the Chiefs got blown out.
Y'all need to relax. All 15 people in Indy would go crazy at the parade. You got to chill, man. There's more people in Indiana than there are in Oklahoma. Chill out. Or in Oklahoma City. There's more in Indy than there are in Oklahoma City.
These are like
relax.
The two smallest markets playing each other in the NBA Finals. I'm
if you curious
like what
basketball,
the though,
if you like basketball, the ratings are going to suck. But if you like basketball, and you did, this is your favorite matchup. This should be the one you wanted.
All right, up next, let's get to the 11 o'clock hour. Something opened up yesterday for the first time in 2025, at least when it comes to baseball. We'll explain what that is, what it means over the next month or so for fans, and we'll get to the trash of the day right here on Cody and Gold.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.